everybody. Welcome to Elevating the Genre, Podcast Zero, with your co-hosts, Wayne and Garth. Christopher Morrison. And the man over there is Dominic Ma. This is just to sort of get us everybody grounded, because again, we're not doing sort of a generic film podcast or how to raise your puppies or whatever. It's a little complicated what we're talking about, so we figured we'd give everybody an opportunity to not only sort of get a little deeper understanding of what Dom and I are trying to do, but also who the hell we are. Also swearing, lots of swearing, at least on my end. I don't know, Dominic's probably more of a gentleman than I am. But
swear. That's a good warning.
Swearing's a good warning.
For the kiddies,
yes,
I don't know.
For the kiddies, yes, I'm sure. We'll just jump right into it. I'm Christopher Morrison. I'm a filmmaker and a theater practitioner for the last 20 some odd years, horrifying as that is for me. And I've always been a self-identified geek as well, and loved all the genre stuff. Pretty much name a genre, I'm into it. Particularly in the science fiction, fantasy thing. And when this sort of stuff started to happen that I called elevated genre or whatever, these sort of, for me, what are smaller films that are tackling bigger genre questions, I got really excited. And when I really transitioned from theater to film, that's the sandbox I wanted to play in. So blah, blah, blah. I've had a short distributed, worked with Cirque du Soleil, blah, blah, blah. I'm cool. Awesome. Dom, how cool are you?
How cool. I am Dominic, and I'm mainly a writer, video maker. I've worked with Chris before. My main things now are I don't have my camera speaking voice yet. Sorry, I'm working on it.
It's all good.
I have a website called karaokeRhapsody.com. That's like Bohemian Rhapsody, except karaoke, where we do videos on karaoke culture. And recently we're doing a cosplay karaoke series, which I think is just be really good.
Yes.
But it's just starting out, so it's that period where it could be really good, but it feels also like a lot of exertion and anxiety. Yeah. And I write, blog, geek out, many subjects, and I blog for yamyamf.com, which is principally an Asian American pop culture blog, and I'm kind of the guy who does their superhero and science fiction stuff. Right. So I'm very excited about this, basically. I don't even care. I just want a podcast about elevated genre.
Cool. And just for those at home that didn't quite catch that amazing abbreviation, that's you offend me, you offend my family.com. Yam yaf. I always told people yam yaf, but that maybe not be right. Is that right?
Yeah.
It's yam.
It's a weird thing. It's a fairly popular website, but it's definitely not. It's never been search engine optimized.
Yes,
it's a mouthful to say.
That's for damn.
And they rebranded recently from ufmmyufmmyfamily.com, which no one can remember, to yamyamf, which no one can pronounce. So basically,
don't take the marketing tools from these guys. But
it's a problem of inception. But yeah. It's
all right.
Doing good as a site, anyway.
It's great. It's a great site. I definitely encourage everybody to check it out. It's awesome. I love what they talk about and how they approach everything. Is a real good insight.
Yeah. Not going to say the actual word too much, just because it gets ridiculous.
Yes.
So hopefully it'll be printed in a little pop-up bubble in the corner somewhere.
That may be the easiest way for you to find it instead of trying to actually, or maybe I'll include it in some kind of show notes at the bottom or whatever, but definitely just you offend me, you offend my family, the first letter of each one of those .com, and you'll get to what Dom is talking about, which is awesome.
Actually, the easiest possible thing is just to actually search Dominic Ma superheroes or Dominic Ma cosplay or Dominic Ma Star Trek anything.
That's true.
And it'll probably get you there.
There you go.
At least to me and my babblings on yamyamf.com. But anyway, that's enough about
somebody else. No worries, of course. And Dominic and I met back in the late 90s in the Bay Area theater scene when I helped to co-found a theater company called Impact, and Dominic was busy kicking ass at Emerald Rain Productions. And that's where we ran across each other. And I was trying to think the other day of what the first thing was we actually worked together on. We were in the same circle of peeps, but was it the Matrices, really? Is that possible?
I asked you to be in the Matrices because I needed a cool fight scene, and you were good at that. But I like to think those Impact Emerald Brain things, we were all kind of working together in a way. Anyway, really, we're working in like the same zeitgeist.
Right, exactly.
And we basically knew each other.
Yeah.
So that's why I feel like that, you know, it had that kind of energy.
Yeah.
I mean, we can go in a long diversion about that right now if you want to, but
we're not going to.
Sure.
We're not going
perhaps to. When they get to know us better, huge podcast audience.
I think so. Yeah, no, I think so. I would, because, yeah, that would be, yeah, we could do it.
But, yeah, we are theater nerds. That's the other contextualization
huge
information that's good.
Yeah, absolutely. That's absolutely important.
Contextualizing.
That kind of anyway. That context stuff, yeah. And specifically low-budget to mid-budget theater, particularly at least in that context, in the late 90s Bay Area stuff. And definitely, you know, doing our own thing because we had something to say, and working with a bunch of other people who felt the same way, and doing that kind of a thing, which for me blazed a very specific path into, and I think for me, again, explains my love of sort of this, what I see as a sort of a new drift towards these sort of low budget films that are tackling these really large problems. Because I mean, you want that's fucking Emerald Rain Productions, right? The thing that Dom didn't slip in there was that Dominic was doing, they were doing original low budget rock operas. You guys and Gabi Alter.
We were trying to do shows that were a little bit more complicated than they needed to be. Not even more complicated, and also Impact. Also,
for sure.
Ambitious in scope in a certain way.
Yeah.
Being able to use a certain number, you know, an array of tropes, an array of set pieces.
Yeah.
Stuff that shouldn't be done in a basement theater.
Yeah.
We had big fight scenes, big musical numbers.
Yeah.
And
not that small theater is a genre, but we were definitely, I mean, Impact and Emerald Rain were trying to elevate that form a little bit. We were trying to take things away from sort of a Chicago storefront, break the furniture and piss in the corner type theater, and give it a little bit of a, at the time, forgive the labeling, the Gen X spin. Heaven forbid we're getting old where that sounds just douchey as all get out. But there you go. And trying to bring in sort of the geek factor into low budget theater, which is now a fucking accepted thing across the United States. There are low budget geek theaters in every corner of the nation, but we were those two companies were definitely on the vanguard of that.
Yeah, we started that.
Yeah, you're cool. Pat.
Did I ever tell you the story about how I invented the Matrix? A couple of people invented the Matrix, obviously, but mine was in a rock opera that maybe 70 people on the planet remember. But that's cool, you know, zeitgeist.
Zeitgeist, indeed. Exactly. So let's jump into it, man. What the hell are we talking about when we talk about, you know, the name of the podcast is Elevating the Genre, and we're talking about elevated genre stuff. Like I said, between the two of us, I sort of started this with a much more specific definition, which now interacting with you, I think is expanding, which is great. So I'll just start with what I sort of was inspired me to sort of talk about, which was, for me, elevated genre, this term is getting thrown around a little bit. And yes, some people have a lot of problems with it, and some people are calling it a bit douchey or whatever, because I think they think it's as a definition is talking down to genre stuff, which I just completely and utterly disagree with, that like genre needs to be elevated. Well, to be honest with you, sometimes it fucking does. I mean, I Come in Peace, which fucking hell, don't get me wrong. I love a Dolph Lundgren science fiction beating up on aliens with shit coming out of their hands. I got no problems with that. But when you put that up against something like, I don't know, Another Earth or The Babadook or some of these other movies that are floating around right now, I'm sorry, there's something elevating about those movies. They're taking these science fiction concepts and making them something
else. Just for clarity of our audience, the Dolph Lundgren movie is not the elevated genre.
Is not the elevated genre I'm talking about. It's a fantastic, and please, audience, it's a fantastic movie. If you have not seen I Come in Peace, and I'm going to spoil the very ending, you go in pieces, is the line. Yes, that's the wordplay there. See, they took P-E-A-C-E and they did it with P-I-E-C. Anyway, so again, I love that once in a while. I need it. But the things that we are talking about is stuff that is, I don't know, for lack of a better term, sort of smartening up or appealing to a, I don't know, a different part of your brain than some standard genre stuff does. And I think we can all agree that some, no matter what part of the entertainment world you're in, some of that stuff punches low and some of that stuff punches high. And I think what we're trying to focus on with this podcast is the stuff that punches high, not just the movies and the TV shows that do that, but maybe even some of the tropes. And this is something that when Dominic and I, Dom and you and I were talking about this, like that felt like what you added to this conversation, I think, which was cool, which is let's talk about the tropes and the creators that are consistently doing it and sum up, you know, whatever, anything in the sort of genre world that is quote unquote, you know, elevating it or smartening it up. Does that sound right or something?
Yes, I think that sounds right. Oh. I think you won the Jeopardy question on that.
I'm a winner. Fantastic. So
I mean, you were coming at, but yeah. For purposes of clarity again, this is episode please. Zero. You were talking about it from the sort of budgetary, logistical sense
also,
originally.
Yeah, originally that's what I was approaching it from. I think just because for me that's kind of what, because when you're talking, like when I'm, for example, we haven't talked about it, I'm about to shoot a film in Brussels in January. And when I approach potential distributors and potential investors, whatever, that's the label I'm using. I'm saying it's an elevated genre film. So for me, it was important in that context when, because again, it seems to me at least a relatively new term, and maybe one of our listeners or watchers or whatever will come back and be like, it's been around since 1926 or whatever the fuck, and I just never heard of it. But it was really important for me when they went, what does that mean, that I had a definition, and so I busted that definition out, and it was definitely guys in whatever land, totally, that's a Morrison definition. I didn't find that anywhere. I just sort of cobbled it together from again some other people I met in the business that were using it, and it always seemed to reference these lower budget feature films that you know, again, we're punching a little higher, we're punching above their weight, either in terms of concept or script or just in general in content. So yeah, that's where the budgetary thing came from. But I think you're right. I think that's super limiting, particularly for our podcast.
Well, I think it's great to talk about, hopefully in both ways, because, I mean, for a filmmaking or non-filmmaking audience, you know, how within limitations you can get so much more, I didn't want to say value, I just said value, you can get so much more awesome.
Yeah.
Within certain limitations, within certain, you know, practical budget life things that real people have, you know, Michael Bay doesn't have, but yes. Real filmmakers have to work these problems out.
Absolutely.
And so that's kind of like, you know, that's a, like a nice myth-bustery kind of process that we do. You know, like, how are we going to get this to happen in sort of limited circumstances? Mm-hmm. Can we get it to do so much more than we think should happen, you know, and it's not just people talking heads around the table.
Right.
So, I think that's a lovely way to look at it. But I also like to think of, because, you know, we're both genre geeks.
Yeah.
That we occasionally spy a genre piece that's engaging social issues, engaging something that really matters in the world.
Yeah, man.
That takes it out of, oh, this is the science fiction movie that's on now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think there's definitely, you know, that's distinguishable, and there are tiers there that we can where we can look at. And to me, that's elevating genre, whether it's, you know, a $50,000 movie or a $200 million movie.
Yeah, or a smart comic book or a smart graphic novel as well. Yeah, I mean, and that's one of the great things that I think, like I said, that you brought the idea to, like, hey, let's open this up to, you know, I don't know, other intellectual properties, but, you know, other creators and creative forces that are doing that kind of stuff. I think it's great. Cool, man. Yeah, and so, I mean, for me, what I think where we're going to sort of start, where the podcast is going to sort of weave a little bit all over the road in terms of subject matter, but not too much. I mean, you know, it's going to be, each podcast is going to be focused on a specific thing. Whether we agree, whether Dominic and I agree on a particular, you know, IP property, like either a, you know, a specific movie or a specific TV show or a specific comic book, or we're also maybe going to start talking about it in terms of genre elements. Like, I think, you know, like I said, we're compiling a list now, but like, you know, we could talk about different powers and like which creators use different powers in comic books certain ways, or certain, the use of certain archetypes or the use of certain tropes. I mean, shit, we can talk all, you know, we can even break it all the way down to like score and music in film. You know, specific villains, specific heroes, whichever one we think is, you know, doing the thing we're talking about, which is elevating the genre. And whatever they happen to be talking about.
Chris, yep. Is it too early to start a suggestion box?
Not at all, baby. Yeah, and that's the other thing. Yeah. No, I can
talk about it. Like, I figure we can talk about a wide range of things. That's our advantage. You know? Mm-hmm. I believe we can talk about all sorts of genre nerdy things.
Absolutely. So, and I'm, you know,
throw us a suggestion. You know,
yeah, of course.
Bat it around.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's do that. And just remember, though, people who are throwing suggestions, you know, we're not. This isn't a review podcast. You know, you're going to get a mountain of obnoxious opinions. I'm sure from both of us. But we're not looking to like, you know, okay, what's the new Marvel movies out and we're going to do a review of Doctor Strange. I would much rather talk about Doctor Strange in terms of either, the problematic casting, that is an issue that's out in the world. Or, you know, or some other aspect of how they treated the magic system. Like, how is Marvel treating magic in the Marvel universe, for example? And, you know, compare and contrast that to other bullshit like Harry Potter's magic system, or, you know, the magic system in Lord of the Rings or whatever. And we can all sort of talk about, you know, stuff like that. So we're really getting into some interesting detailed stuff. And then, you know, and then that conversation could spin off into, hey, you want to do some magic in your small, short, no budget short film, what are some strategies or whatever, how do you think about it, that kind of stuff. Yeah, because the other thing I think would be fun is, because again, I think for me it sort of splits into two different topics that we're going to sort of wrestle with. I think one is sort of like a concept for a podcast, like, you know, sort of, you know, everything from race issues to zombies are the same thing in my stupid head, but there you go. I mean, you know, just certain actors that appear in certain films or TV shows, or like I said before, maybe certain creators that we think, you know, continue to elevate the genre a little bit here and there. Also, that would be great if both you and I, since both you and I are so geeky, to turn some people on to some people that, you know, everybody knows Joss Whedon and everybody knows, you know, and taking nothing away from Joss Whedon or Chris Claremont, even though maybe they may not know that name. You know, if we can bring people into some lesser known stuff that's doing work on that level, that would make my day at least. So that's sort of like concept stuff. And then there would be like sort of like genre elements. I think maybe, you know, like I said, sort of like everything from costumes to villains to, you know, which fights or stunt scenes we think elevated, you know, the genre of an action movie, either in, whether in a low budget or in a high budget, that reset the bar kind of a deal, that elevate whatever. So to me, yeah, that's kind of how it's going to be. I think it's how, at least I'm going to pitch it to you. And then we'll in turn then pitch it to the audience, either as sort of like, okay, this is sort of a concept of the day or a genre element of the day kind of podcast. Yeah.
And I also the idea of doing scenes and sequences just isolated, right? Because, yeah, exactly. Like sometimes it's a sequence that really does something
right
outstanding. Mm-hmm. It's the one you're looking forward to when you're rewatching the movie, and it does. Yeah. You know, sometimes movies, and some when you review them, you're just kind of like, well, I don't know. All told, not really, but there was part where it elevated to something else, and we could talk about how that works, even like against the other aspects of the film.
Right? Yeah, yeah. So that's a really good idea. Can you give me an example of what you're thinking of? Just that? I know it's putting you on the spot, but just so people can
a good example idea. Off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Like some of the action sequences in Winter Soldier. I mean, okay. I know, again, this is on the high Hollywood budget level, right, not on right, the right. indie level. Mm-hmm. But I think some of them were put together very carefully, with a lot of different dynamics in mind.
Yeah.
This is probably not the best example, but so the introduction of the villains in Big Trouble in Little China, or their demise. It's a very interesting sequence how that all comes together, right?
Yeah, no, super, super cool. That's a great example. Yeah, I was thinking of like a bit of a deep cut fight-wise, and again, they had some budget, but not a lot. There's a Tony Jaa movie, Tom Yong Gong, which is, and most people have maybe seen it, but don't know where it comes from, which is this one-take wonder up a fight that goes up a staircase, and it lasts, I think it's 4.5 minutes. And yeah, exactly. That's a perfect example because everything that surrounds that is like meh. I mean, outside of Tony Jaa being amazing, right. But when that scene comes on, I'm literally getting fucking goosebumps. Like my hair is standing up. Like just even thinking about it, it sets a bar. It's like, and what a challenge for an actor to be like, okay, well, what the fuck am I going to do for my next movie? And then we get shit like Ong Bak 3, and then you're like, okay, you've gone totally crazy. But anyway, sorry, that was some weird deep baseball there. But yeah, we'll unpack some of that stuff, and I think, I think that's great. Yeah, sort of talking about pieces or sequences that that work will be really fun and really, really, really cool and instructive. Awesome. I think that's good because I did want to keep this a little short just because it's just a little, bon mot about like what we're what I want this to be all about. So ladies and gentlemen, we're sort of basically going to sign off, but before we go, we also, Dominic and I are going to be completely unshy. There's an actual word for that in English, I'm sure, which I don't know right now. We're going to be completely bold, crass, uncouth,
maybe there's a
self-aggrandizing, I don't fucking know, whatever, you guys pick a better word because you're all smarter than me. We're gonna be unabashedly pushing our stuff always, because at the end of the day, Dominic and I are not podcasters. We want to be, of course, but we're filmmakers, and we create content, and we want you guys to know about it. So Dominic already teased a little bit. He's doing Karaoke Rhapsody. You got anything else up? You just had a freaking movie at a film festival, Jerkwad. Tell people about that.
Oh yeah, I co-wrote a script for a film called Superpowerless. Speaking of zeitgeist, the title of that calls back to art theater days, calls back to doing superhero rock musicals. But anyway,
yeah,
it's the name of some other songs too. Anyway, that's the name of this indie film that premiered recently in the Montreal Genre Fest, science fiction genre, and I actually have not seen how it turned out, but it did premiere. So anyway, I'm IMDb-able at Dominic Ma for all that. But the main thing I'm telling people about this week is cosplay karaoke.
Yeah, for sure.
At karaokerhapsody.com, and I'll try to pronounce that more correctly once we're for a possible Japanese audience. It would be something like cosplay karaoke at karaokerhapsody.com.
There it is.
Because if you like the X-Men, is our theme this week, if you like superheroes, if you like cosplay, if you like people dressing up, and then singing the songs at karaoke, not that they would sing, but that their character would sing.
Oh my god.
It's
fucking genius.
That's the fun thing.
That's the shit I'm talking about, man. Come on, because that's
right. So
that's a perfect
example.
Up.
We've got 2 videos up so far, but please, you can go find them at karaokerhapsody.com or our Facebook somewhere. And that's my big thing this week.
That's great. I'm not going to promise this is going to drop this week, but hopefully that'll have staying power. Hopefully, we all hope go find it. Like I said, I'm. First of all, the craziness is that Dominic is in, which is also something I think is great. Dominic is pitching his tent in Berkeley, California. I'm over in Brussels, Belgium, actually, doing my thing. And over here is, like I said, I've got this, I've got a very small indie film coming up in January, written and directed by myself. And I'll try to be as completely transparent, because this is pretty much what I'm going to update you guys on every week, is going to be sort of transparently about that process. I'm not going to go into huge details. And, and to start off that transparency, I've got a lot of skin in that game. I've raised some money, but it's a lot of my own cash flowing into that thing. So there you go. So that may turn some people off right away. Come back. But there you go.
Somehow you'll have to tease this whole process without telling us the whole thing about what the movie is
exactly
about,
right? It's just so here's the biggest tease. The biggest tease is, number one, it's a one-room movie, but on top of that, it's a one-character piece as well, meaning there's only one character that appears on screen, and we are we're doing something original, and actually, this is the first time where I'm actually going to be nervous making this statement, but because hopefully this goes to a wider audience, but everybody else I've said it to, nobody's been able to contradict me. We will be the first film in English. I'm qualifying now, and I actually don't believe it's just in English. I believe in the world, that is. I know, hang your head in shame, because it's probably disprovable with... But I've done my Google shit. I've Google slapped myself. I've Google slapped myself a lot on this. Here's the announcement. It's going to be the first film, and I'll say in English, that is a one-character piece that stars a woman. That is a woman. I know that face. Everyone makes that face. Everyone makes that face. But nobody's been able to come up with one. And yes, I know about the Liv
Ullmann. Good question.
It's a good question. It's a good one. I do know about the Liv Ullmann. I think it's 1980. She did a Beckett piece for the BBC, which was quote-unquote feature length. It was over an hour. But I don't count that shit. So there you go. Not that I discount Beckett or Liv Ullmann. Both are amazeballs. But
it'll certainly be one of only a few.
If it whatever is, exactly. So, and I don't, yeah. And there are some art films that were like museum, like 18-hour length things that are out there, but I don't really count those either. This is meant for a wide audience. So, anywho.
18 hours does not count as elevating the genre.
Yes, yes, absolutely. According to this, that's good. Oh, this will be fun. We'll also get a chance to define what it fucking is not. And yes, 18 hours does not count as elevating the genre for sure. So that's the tease. We're a one room, one character piece that is a woman. And I can tell you it's an elevated genre piece, that exists in a little bit in the horror genre, a little bit in what they would call over here in Europe, the social film. So, and I'll keep teasing that as we go along. Cool?
Cool.
All right. That's Dominic. I'm Christopher. We're elevating the genre. Oh my God, that just came out and that is horrible. I'll never say that again.
Natural.
It was natural though. It felt natural. There
you're a natural podcaster.
Yeah, I'm a natural podcaster, but regardless, thanks for listening. We're excited to have you guys and gals and aliens and other dimensional beings or whoever wants to watch this or listen to it. Just so you guys know, this will be here wherever you found us on the video thing, and we'll also do just an audio only release of this, and that'll float around the usual places, iTunes and blah 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 blah. So cool, that's it for us, man. Dominic, cool. Anything else?
No, thanks very much. We'll see you soon.
See you guys soon. Cheers.